Holy Spirit, dwell in me, touch my heart that I might see all your goodness, grace, and power. Stay beside me every hour. Be my drink, be my living bread. Keep me sheltered, keep me fed. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, dwell in me.
Amen. Church, say amen once again.
Amen.
Truly, God is good. Somebody said God is good all the time and all the time. God is good. Even when we are bad, God is still good. Even if we don't know that God is good, God is still good. Somebody ought to say amen. I want to welcome those who are visiting with us and say you are indeed our honored guests. Amen. If you have your Bibles, find your way to 2 Peter. And the chapter is 1. Really enjoyed the Bible class this morning. I did. You guys, I appreciate you. And I thank you for being willing to listen and allow me to have the platform. Amen.
Amen.
Also want to say that I enjoyed the meeting we had on Thursday night. It was uplifting and very edifying, and I think it was productive. Amen. The men met, and I appreciate that. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, and the verses that we have been matriculating over for the last couple of weeks have been months, have been verses 5 through 8. The Apostle Peter, in his final words to those who had been scattered abroad, said, "And besides this, give all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue add knowledge, and to your knowledge add temperance, and to temperance add patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to your brotherly kindness add love. For if these things be in you, and if they abound in you, they will make you that you will not be barren, nor will you be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh in these things, is blind and cannot see far off, and also have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Are you there, brethren? We've been observing that growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ begins with that rudimentary element called faith. I say rudimentary or elementary. Faith. Conviction. Trust. And then he says you need to have virtue. You need to strive to do things in an excellent fashion. Is that all right with you? And this is manifest by you increasing in your knowledge regarding God's will for your life. Every Christian ought to want to know how and what God expects from them. To which you ought to add self-control. You need to master yourself. You need to control yourself. Sometimes we just get out of control. Somebody will say amen. Master your desires and your passions. And then in this text, he goes on to tell us that once you control yourself and you get things under control, somebody needs to say amen. Amen. Amen if you can. He says that you ought to persevere. You ought to have some perseverance with this self-control. King James renders this word patience, as it means that you need to have some endurance, some patience to stick with this thing. It's not going to be something that's going to be here one moment and gone the next moment. You know, like some folks say sometimes that you about to make me put down my Christianity. Just because somebody made you mad. Somebody need to help me this morning. Can I get a little help? It's not that kind of thing. The RSV or the Revised Standard Version uses the word steadfastness. Which Paul says that you're going to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord. Y'all still out there? He says that this perseverance that he's talking about is patience, but it's also being steadfast. It's meaning sticking with something long enough to see the fruit of it. Are y'all still with me? What comes to mind when you hear these words? How does it relate to self-control? Or you're adding perseverance to your Christianity day by day. Somebody need to help me this morning. The word in Greek is hupomene, and it literally means to abide under. Are y'all still out there? It means to strong devise it like this. You abide under with a cheerful or a hopeful endurance. It's not that I am always mad or angry because I'm going through some stuff right now. Somebody needs to say amen. I know what it means not to have enough money to pay your bills. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I know what it means to ride in a car that you are not sure is going to make it around the block, let alone where you're trying to get to. Amen, if you can. I think I know what it means to look in the cabinet and there's nothing there for you to cook. Amen, if you can. I know what it means to eat ramen noodles. And I like them. After a while, you just get to like them. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. They're cheap, inexpensive, and I'm not sure if they're healthy. But they are filling. So Strong defines this word as a cheerful or a hopeful endurance. It implies suffering, enduring or waiting as determination of the will and not simply under necessity. It's not that I've got to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Somebody needs to say amen. You know, we talk about the Bible says that God will always give you a way out. Well, folk, we can always find a way out. You know, some folk will just tell you right off the bat, I don't have to take that. Are y'all still there? You see, there's another word that makrothumia, which means long suffering. Well, this word here, hupomene, doesn't mean long suffering. Y'all still out there? It doesn't mean long suffering or enduring toward other folk. It doesn't mean that you're gonna put up with other folk. See, the makrothumia means that you put up with people. Are y'all still there? This word is not talking about just putting up with people. Hupomene is an association with your hope. It means that there's a day when I'm going to leave this world and go to be with my Lord. Are y'all still out there? This is what this word is talking about. You see, because sometimes people will die around you. So macrothumia means that I will put up with them as long as they are alive or as long as they live in the same state where I live. That's long suffering, because they may leave and move somewhere else, and I'm glad to see them go. In fact, I'll help them pack. That's not what hupomene means. It's not the same as macrothumia, which means long suffering, as long as the situation is there. This not the same thing. It means that you are going to wait on your heavenly home, and it's going to be a long time before you get there. See, it's not going to die and go away. Are y'all still out there? You just relate 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 3. I don't have it written down, so you read it at your leisure. Amen. And it refers to the quality of character which does not allow one to surrender under circumstances or succumb to trials and tribulations. Are y'all still out there? That's what this word is about. It means that you're not going to let the weight of the world make you lose your Christianity. Nobody can make me put down my Christianity. I don't care how mad you make me. I don't care if you cuss me out. I don't care if you hit me or spit on me. Amen. I don't care what you do. If you threaten to take my life, you can't make me put down my Christianity. It brings to mind the days when the martyrs were being boiled with oil. Are y'all still out there? When Nero was playing his fiddle while Rome burned and the Christians were being hung on posts and put on his fence. Are y'all still out there? You see, it reminds me of those who were being taken to the cross and killed. Peter being crucified upside down. James being drugged through the streets of Jerusalem. Are y'all still out there? Paul being put to death, taken to prison and threatened to be put to death. It's John being exiled on the Isle of Patmos. Are y'all still out there with me? That's what this word is about. It's about the fact that no matter what they throw at me, I am never going to leave my Lord. I don't care how the folk in the church act. I don't care how the folk in the church act. I don't care how the folk in the church act. Amen? That's what this word is about. Doesn't matter who come or who go, I'm going to stay. Somebody need to help me this morning. The word hupomene is not a passive word. It's not a passive word. It's not a word that says that I'm going to sit back and wait and see what happens. It's an active word. Are y'all still with me? It's an active word. It's not the spirit that sits back and put up with trials of life. It's taking whatever comes. That's not what this word is about. You're not just going to sit around and wait on the premises to see what's going to happen. Are y'all still out there? It's not just sitting back and putting up with trials, the trials of life. It's taking whatever comes. It's the spirit that stands up and face trials in spite of them coming to you. Are y'all still with me? It's going out and conquering and overcoming the trials. Are y'all still there? You see, where we live at, we have pet deer. I say they pet deer. They come up to my yard, and I go out there, and they start coming toward me. I'm like, I don't have nothing for y'all. Go on about your business. But my dog has a very sensitive ear, and I always know when the deer are out there. I sometimes can't even see the deer, and I know something wrong with this dog. But you know, whenever he hear those deer, TV on, he's sitting by the sofa with me and everything, and all of a sudden he'll run over to the back door and start barking. See, he's being active. He's not waiting for those deer to just stay out there. He's being proactive in his reaction toward those deer. So when tribulation comes, you don't stop and wait and sit back and just take whatever comes. You start doing something to get yourself to the point where you're going to sustain yourself. Are y'all still there? You see, in the passive sense, it would be like a ship anchored in a storm. Are y'all still there? under attack by the winds and the wave, and it remains secure in the spot. But that's not this word. This word is not that kind of endurance. It's not that kind of endurance. It's the ship that will not anchor itself down, but it will run head. You see, I'm going somewhere. I'm trying to get somewhere. I'm trying to move somewhere. I'm not just going to sit back and anchor myself and say, I'm going to endure the storm. I'm going to stand and just ride it out. No, this word means that you will run headlong into the winds, into the rain, because your destination is on the other side, and you're not going to let anything stop you from getting there. That's hupomene. See, I'm not going to just endure because there's some wind going on, and I'm going to rest and hide in the bosom of the Lord. Somebody ought to say amen. I'm going to take it and just rest, and I'm going to anchor myself down. I know God is our anchor, but that's not what this word is saying you ought to be. So you pull up the anchor. Amen. You know, it's when the storm was raging and Jesus was in the back of the boat and he was saying, he was sleeping. The disciples said, Lord, don't you care that we are perishing? Jesus said, look, we're enduring. We're not perishing. We are enduring. Are y'all still there? It is not over. Keep on going. The storm is going in. So he gets up and he says, peace be still. Are y'all still out there? You see, but some of us want to run away from the storm and say, I don't want any storm coming into my life. I don't want anything happening to me. It's pressing on to your destination despite the obstacle that's in your way. It doesn't matter what goes on in the church. It doesn't matter what goes on in the church. I keep saying that because a lot of folk get discouraged because there's some tribulation sometimes, some trial in the church. There's some disturbance in the church, but you're pressing on to your destination. Amen. Winds come. Rain come. Amen. The boat rocks sometime. Amen. Folk fall out the boat sometime. Some folk get back in the boat. But you keep on going. Somebody else say amen. It involves more than just grinning and bearing it attitude. You know, you're not just saying, oh, everything is fine. No, everything is not fine. But folk, in spite of the fact that there's some wind blowing on the side of me and some wind blowing on top of me, rain coming down on me, I'm soaking wet, I'm still pressing on. Adam Clark describes it like this. He says it's bearing all the trials and difficulties when in ever man enduring in all and persevering through all. You endure through in all and through all. You know, I love that the fact that the 23rd Psalm, I think I've shared this with you before, but it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And I like the fact that there's one letter that separates the word though from through, and that's the word aura. The letter aura. Just one letter separates though and through. Yea, though I go through some things, God will bring me through those things. So y'all still there? You see, even though I go through, even though there's tribulation in my life, even though there's sickness in my life, even though my wife don't want to act right, even though my husband don't want to act right, even though my kids don't want to act right, even though the church don't want to act right, even though the government don't want to act right, I go through because I'm persevering. You know, Jesus exemplified this. The Bible says, even though he went to the cross, in spite of the fact that the folk who were his people turned their backs on him, the Bible says he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. In fact, they put him on the cross and they crucified him. And even though he said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do, is exemplified by Jesus. You know, just because folk treat you wrong don't mean you have to put down your Christianity. It's bigger than that. Paul exemplified it. Even though perseverance is not simply bearing with trial, but is bearing up under trial. You know, you got to keep in mind that it means that when the weight is pressing down on you. Y'all still there? You see, bearing with trial means that trial walking beside you. Y'all still there? So I'm just bearing with trial because trial is on side of me. And trial not really pressuring me, but trial is always with me. But when I'm bearing up under trial, now trial has decided that trial won't ride. Trial has gotten tired of walking, and trial won't ride, and trial has jumped on my back. And now I got to bear up under trial and carry trial where trial wants to go. And I'm going to take trial where trial wants to go. But I need to keep in mind that I'm not only going to take trial where trial wants to go. I'm going where I need to go. Somebody will say amen. Because trial is going with me. If trial want to ride on my back, then trial going to go where I'm going. And I'm trying to get from here to glory. So I'm not going to allow trial to stop me. I'm going to bear up under trial. It's a quality that's required by every Christian. It's demanded by us, and it's necessary for your mature growth. If you can't bear up under trial, you will never grow up. Somebody needs to say amen. And I remember when we first became parents, I'm the youngest of my four or five siblings. I have four older sisters. Somebody else say amen. And I'm the baby, and I'm the only boy. I had already been dealing with trial. So when I became a parent, I had already had nieces and nephews that I'd already been putting diapers on and stuff. Somebody say amen if you can. So I had a little bit of experience, but when grandparents, I could send them back to their parents when things weren't, I didn't want to deal with them anymore. Somebody will say amen. And then when you become a parent, you don't always have the experience that you think you have. And it was good because I could take them back. I could clean their diaper if I wanted to. And if I didn't want, I could just take them over to their parents and say, here, you need to take care of this. Somebody say amen if you can. But when we got our own, we had to deal with it. Couldn't just return them to somebody else. Couldn't take them somewhere else and drop them off. Somebody will say amen. That's the way your trials are. You can't pass it off on somebody else. You got to deal with it for yourself. You can't say, here, preacher, handle this. Here, elders, handle this. Here, deacons, handle this. Here, husband, handle this. Here, wife, handle this. No, you got to deal with it by yourself. Somebody needs to say amen. You know, it's necessary for your mature growth, because if you're going to grow as a Christian, you got to realize that trial will sometimes walk with you, but then trial will jump on your back and you've got to bear up under trial. You know, we must allow patience, humanae, to develop mature. We got to have it to develop a mature character, because that's why folk get so upset so quickly. Somebody needs to say amen. That's why folk get mad so quickly. That's why folk have problems and issues in the church, because everything not going the way that you want it to go. Somebody else say amen. Well, you got 50, 60, 70, 80, 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600, 700, 1,000 folk. Everybody can't have their way. Amen. You imagine that? You know, since I watched Westerns and everything, it's kind of like you looking at a wagon wheel with all those spokes on it. And everybody trying to go in their own direction. Well, you know, the good thing about that wagon wheel is, even though it has all those spokes going around in it, there's a circle around them. Amen? And each one of those spokes will get to the point where they'll take their turn in bearing the weight. Y'all still with me? And they keep going around in circles, and each one is bearing their weight. But not only that, the one that's on top is bearing just as much weight as the one on the bottom. It's called equilibrium. It's kind of balancing it out. And see, when everybody in the church will bear their own weight, somebody else say amen, when everybody in the church will bear their own burdens, I know we ought to bear one another's burdens, but if everybody's bearing, if everybody's bearing your burden and you're not bearing anybody else's burden, then the equilibrium gets thrown off, and then, amen, if you can. And see, that's what happens when we become selfish. We want everybody to bear our burden. You see, and when I don't like it. I want everybody to bear my burden. And because I don't like it, everybody else ought to not like it. And now we just throw the whole wheel off. Are y'all still there? Who, woman A, bear up under your own trial so you don't get your way today. You might get it tomorrow. Amen. And then when you understand a little better, you'll realize that it wasn't really a trial anyway. It was just selfishness. Somebody need to help me this morning. You know, it's necessary. You know, this perseverance is necessary to endure trials. You can't bear trials if you don't have this endurance. You remember Job? You remember Job had three friends. Three friends came to him. They said, Job, now Job, man, don't go through all you going through if they ain't done something wrong. You know, sometimes you just have problems and you hadn't done anything wrong. First thing we want to do is assign sin to what we've done while we're going through some trials and tribulations. Amen. You know, but it's necessary for you to go through these trials in order to get endurance. It's kind of almost counterintuitive, kind of that you think, well, if I have patience, then I shouldn't be going through trials. Well, you got to go through the trial to know you got the patience. Amen. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. You know, it's kind of like having a flashlight and never getting in the dark. What good is it? Somebody need to help me sometimes. You know, it's necessary for your eternal life as well. You know, we need to be patient. In doing good to receive eternal life. According to Romans chapter 2 and verse number 17, he says when we endure, we're going to get eternal life out of it. That's what our hope is. We must have patience to receive the promise. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 36. Let me hurry up and bring this thing to an end because y'all looking at me mighty strange. You know, how do you develop this, Brother Lodge? Well, you need to have the right elements. You know, if I'm going to try and bake a cake, I think you don't make a cake, you bake a cake. You don't cook a cake, you bake a cake, right? Show you how much I know. First element I need is to know what I'm doing. You need the right elements. And in order to get the right endurance and the right patience, you need to have the Word of God. You need to know what God says on the matter. Because a lot of times, the reason why we don't have what we need is because we have misunderstanding of what we really need. So we need to look at the Word of God. Romans 15 and 4 says, you know, it provides, the Word of God teaches us how to be patient. We talked about it this morning. He said, you need to submit yourself to one another. You need to be humble with one another. You need to care for one another. And if you're going to endure one another, you got to understand one another. Peter says it like this. He says, brethren, he says, husband, do well with your wives according to knowledge. You ought to know your wife. You ought to know what makes her angry and what makes her happy. Somebody needs to say amen. Wives, say amen if you can. You ought to know what pushes her buttons and what buttons she have. Amen if you can. So husband, in order to be patient with your wife, you got to understand your wife. Amen, if you can. Wives, likewise, you need to understand your husbands. You know, we need the Word of God, but not only do we need that to get patience, we need a strong hope which helps us to wait eagerly for heaven. Realizing that today is not the last day of our lives. It may be and it may not be. But what if not? Somebody need to help me. You know, we live in a world so that everything is fast. Everything is fast now. We have microwaves that will cook our food in 30 seconds. Somebody needs to say amen. 30 seconds and we can have a hot meal just like that. And we can't wait anymore. We can't wait for anything anymore. You know, it used to be we couldn't wait to get our food through the fast food place, and so they created the drive-through. I don't like to go through the drive-thru. Because you got to wait too long. Amen. You don't even have to go in into the pharmacist and talk to the pharmacist anymore. You could drive right up. Help me if you can, folks. You see, you need the word of God to develop your perseverance. You need a strong hope. You need prayer. Prayer will always help. Paul said to the Colossians, he said, you need to pray about these things. Sometimes we get too impatient. And, you know, prayer, sometimes you think, you know, I'm praying to God and I'm waiting for God to give me an answer. But while you're praying, you get your answer. Sometimes it's just a matter of you stopping and thinking about and talking to God and hashing it out and getting it all out there. And then you realize, you know what, God? Never mind. You know, I don't need you to send down the angels from heaven. I don't need you to stop the sun. I don't need you to send down rain from heaven. God, I don't need you to send down sunshine. God, I don't even need you to cause an earthquake or an eclipse. Because it ain't all that important no more. Now that I've gotten a chance to talk to you about it, I can see that what I was all upset about don't mean nothing. You know, and the other thing that you need that you may think is kind of intuitive once again is you need tribulations. You need tribulation to develop patience. Isn't that what James said? Knowing that the trying of our faith worketh patience. Oh, I don't want that, Brother Lodge. If I got to go through that, I don't think I want that. Amen. Amen. Tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance prepares us for tribulation. The two go hand in hand. As I said, it's like having a flashlight and there's never no dark. And not only do you need the right elements, but you also need the right perspective for this perseverance. I'm coming to an end. You know, you need to look to Jesus. The Hebrew writer said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, the key to running the race set before us is considering him who endured such hostility. If I'm going to run this race, I need to look at some people who run before. Amen, if you can. You know, and I believe it or not, I did run track. I may not look like it now, and I probably couldn't. I probably look like a track now. And I was telling Marjorie, you know, Coach Stringer, way back in the 70s, they got these new things now. All the athletes are buying them, and I even bought some. They got these little stretchy things that you put on you, and you see all the athletes with them on now, and they stretch out and they tape onto you. I can remember one of our hurdlers had pulled the muscle in the back of his leg, and Coach Stringer, being inventive way back then, he loved tires, so he would have us pulling, taking tractor tires and turning them over and pushing them and all that stuff. So what he did was he took a piece of inner tube and he taped that inner tube down here on his leg and put it up here and wrapped it around there, and Coach Stringer was way ahead of his time, because he was like, son, you can get on out there. And he smoked a cigar and he like, get on out there, boy. And he's way ahead of his time. But the point is, what I'm getting at is, when you're trying to do something, it's good to have an example of what you can do. And watching other runners, he would help us by showing us film and teaching us how other runners would run. And he's talking about how you get out the block and how you get into the move and everything you need to do. And by the time you get to a certain, you need to have your stride at a certain distance. Once you get to that distance, you need to have that stride where it needs to be at. And so he would show us how other runners would run. Jesse Owens and different people like that, and he would teach us by giving us good examples of what we needed to do and showing us how by letting us look at how other folk did it. Amen? We ought to be an example to one another. Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. He's an example to us. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So if you're going to get this perseverance, you look at some of the older people. You look at some of the folk who are going through some tribulations in their life and some suffering in their lives. And you see how they do it. And you see that it can be done. And it's an example to us that we also can do it. Are y'all still out there? It's encouraging to see folk who are suffering through their physical ailments and they still love the Lord. Somebody need to help me this morning. Amen. You know, he says, look to Jesus, but look also to the prophets of old because they give us an example. The Hebrew Hall of Faith tells us that, you know, all the people who did some, not only did the men do, but the women also had faith and had hope. And they continued to endure even though they went through all the stuff that they went through. Somebody need to help me this morning. Looking at the lives of people with positive attitudes, trials in life are not for betterment, but it's for betterment. Some of us get bitter. Some of us get so bitter because we are going through some stuff and we think it's not fair for us to go through it. Why me, Lord? Trials mold me. And they make me what God want me to be. Because if God didn't try me, I would not worship God. Are y'all still out there? Therefore, rejoice and glory in your tribulation. Think yourself worthy to be tried. You see, God, let me go ahead on and close. Y'all don't mind that, do you? You see, Job, folk ask, why was Job tried and why did Job go through all this stuff and why did he do this? Well, God told Satan, he said, Satan running around saying, you know, I've been messing with everybody down there and they all kind of just give in. They all just give in no matter, as soon as I come along, they just say, okay. He said, well, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, well, Job, you know, Job is an upright man. And if you take everything from Job, then Job will curse you to your face. Amen. And so Job, God said, go ahead on and deal with Job for a little while. And then Satan got into Miss Job. And I told y'all before, leave Miss Job alone because Miss Job has some good theology. Her theology was accurate. She said, if curse God and die. That's good theology because it's accurate. You get to curse not God, you won't end up dying. That's perfect theology. I mean, I don't know why y'all pick on her so much. She just told him to go, no, don't curse God and die. She was accurate. She was right. And God started, Satan started working through her. And then he sent those three friends over. And the three friends said, Job, you must have done something wrong, man. Because there ain't no man in the world go through all you going through right now unless they did something wrong. It had to be sin in your life. And yet them people tell you that the first time you start having what you did wrong. I ain't doing nothing wrong. All I did was try to serve the Lord. And tribulation is coming along. And tribulation trying to stop me from serving the Lord. And I want to make it to heaven. And tribulation is saying, you have no right to go to heaven. Start getting all up in my head. Telling me that I don't need to be doing what I'm doing because I'm not righteous enough. I'm not right enough. And if I was the kind of person that everybody think I am, then I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. Hey, man. Getting in my head. Trying to stop me from going to heaven because, and then they start telling you, well, if them folk ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites over there at the church, somebody else say, hey, man, I've told you before, that's the best place for hypocrites to be because if hypocrites gonna get right, they need to be at the church. And I also tell you that hypocrites can't be nowhere else. Because if they weren't here, they wouldn't be hypocrites. They be doing what they were supposed to be doing. A hypocrite can only be here if that's where they need to be. Are y'all still with me? Trials and tribulation, all kind of forms and fashion will come into your life. And most of it starts in this internal thinking, internal thought process of mine. So the friends try to get into Job's head through Satan, try to get into his head through his wife, through his friends. And Job say, you know what? Y'all might be right. And I'm going to ask God some questions. And God said, where were you, Job? And then Job started to reflect on things. You know, as I said, that's prayer. When you start talking to God, there's nothing wrong with asking God some questions. But when God starts giving you some answers, you need to go ahead on and listen to what the answers are. You need to question sometimes, because sometimes we don't know what we are doing. So I asked God, and God began to explain some things to me, and I'm enduring under this stuff, and I'm going through this stuff, and now I'm trying to make it to heaven, but I'm going through these things. But you understand what I'm saying is, the reason why you might be suffering is because you're trying to do right, or you're doing right. Yeah. Yeah. But make sure you're doing what's right. Because isn't that what the Bible says? I believe one of the writers said that, Peter said that if you suffer, you ought to suffer for righteousness' sake. Amen. Don't come around talking about I'm suffering and you out here doing all kind of stuff and you've gotten yourself in all kind of trouble and you're suffering because you putting it on your own self. Amen. We're talking about because you're suffering because you're trying to do what's right. You see, when the disciples went through the storm, they were in the boat with Jesus. Make sure Jesus is on board when you're suffering. If you're going to call on him, you want him to be just a whisper away. You don't want him to be way off somewhere where he can't hear you. You want him to be right there so you can say, Lord, I need some help. Help me, Lord. I want him to be in whispering distance. If I'm suffering, I want him on board. And if he's on board, then I can go ahead on and call on him without making a whole lot of fuss. Storms raging all around me. I need to be close enough to him so that he can hear me in spite of the wind that's blowing. Yeah. Are y'all still there? Yeah. So when I'm going through this undergirding of pain and suffering, I want God to be as close as possible. I want God to, I want the suffering to be because I'm doing what's right, not because I'm doing what's wrong. And I'm keeping in mind that I'm going to heaven and I'm going to take trial and tribulation with me all the way up there, because once I get there, the John the Revelator said, there'll be no more tears in heaven. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more suffering. But I'm going to bring it all the way there with me. And then when I get there, I ain't going to worry about it no more, because it's over. But I'm going to carry it all the way with me, because I'm not worried about it. It's not going to weigh me down to the point where I'm going to give up on my Lord. And I'm going to make sure that my Lord is in whispering distance. Going to make sure that God is on board and God is close to me. My Bible says he's omnipresent. And I also read over in the last thing I'm going to say to you. I read over there, and I believe it was in Isaiah, said that our God is not deaf, that he cannot hear you. But your sins and your iniquities has separated between you and your God. So I want to make sure that everything is okay. If I've got sin, I'm going to confess it while God is still listening to me. God is within whispering distance, so I can just say, Lord, forgive me. Don't have to make no maleration about it. Don't have to go put on sackcloth and ashes. They don't have to go out and stand in the middle of the street and say, I'm so holy. Look at me. God, forgive me. I don't have to do that. I can just do it in my closet, while in my private home where I am by myself with just me and the Lord. Anybody here feel like they are disconnected with God? Anybody here feel like they have not, don't have God within whispering distance? Anybody feel like they don't have God on board? And if you don't, you need to be honest. You need to be truthful. You can come down this morning and ask God to get on board. The Bible says that he stands at the door knocking. All you need to do is open the door and let him back in. Some of us have kicked him out. Some of us are here this morning, but we still don't have that trust. We don't have that hope. Are you going to heaven? I don't know. I got so many trials and tribulations with me, I don't know if I'm going to make it to heaven. Well, take your trials and tribulation with you to heaven. Don't let them stop you. Tell them to come on board. Amen. I remember You used to see the little cartoons with the little boy and running away from home. They take the little stick, throw their little bag on the back and grab them and take them on with them. You just take your trial and tribulation, throw them on your shoulder and bring them on. Say, come on. We going on the trip. And we from here to heaven. We going from home to heaven because we're getting on up there. If you want to do that this morning, you can come down while we sing the song of invitation right now.
Yeah.